Chris Mortensen from ESPN joins us now on the set here from, and he gets applause from people walking by, our colleagues in the media, joining us on Cleveland Browns Daily. Ron Borges from the Globe.
I wish we had a camera.
Yeah, that would be nice.
He's with the Boston Herald, by the way.
I'm sorry. I changed his newspaper.
But, you know, we go back so far as you and I do.
I remember him as a Globe guy.
It's fun to be around the guys that we've been with for many, many years. And it's interesting how much we think alike. And the older we get, we're a little more cynical and crankier.
Yes.
We're still a little bit old school. Forgetful, maybe.
But old school,
but it's
for
all
sure.
Fun.
It's a blast, and it is great to have guys in our business who are still doing this stuff and cranking away every day at it. We're broadcasting here from Phoenix, Arizona, site of the NFL meetings. I want to ask you first, Chris, and I know you had the opportunity to visit with Jimmy Haslam, the owner of the Browns. I know you watch this team like you do all of them pretty closely. Your thoughts first on the moves that have been made so far by them in free agency?
Good moves. I mean, obviously, when you make these moves, you're going to overspend when you get to a certain point. But your team's better. Your roster's better. Mm-hmm. And so, obviously, a decision was made. We have the cap space. We have the cash. We're going to make our team better. Paul Kruger. And when you got somebody, you know, coming from the other side, it all makes sense. I mean, you know, I know even with Jimmy Haslam, we had a discussion just about, you know, how you build this defense.
Right.
Clearly, the Browns need more corners, more defensive backs.
Sure.
But the rules of today's game, the way teams spread you out three and four wides, it means you have numbers, but do you spend the sixth pick in the draft on a corner, which would be the only one, you know, anybody talks about is, you know, Milner from Alabama.
Yep.
But I know a lot of good evaluators who, even though Milner is their top guy, they got a bunch of guys right behind them that aren't that far, and those guys are going in the second round.
Right.
And of course, the Browns have a second round pick. And, you know, that's
right.
Like picking out a scab.
Yeah.
So we say Josh Gordon better have a heck of a year.
Yes.
But I do sense, as I'm certain you talked about, that the goal is to somehow get a second round pick.
You can trade down, and there could be, and Joe Banner's history is trading down.
Right. And but you have to have a trade partner, and so therefore there has to be somebody at that spot at six, you know, who either covets a quarterback because you got teams like Arizona and Buffalo picking 7 and 8. Or there's some other player that just, boom, we got to have this guy. Is that Jarvis Jones or whoever of Georgia, the defensive outside defensive end linebacker? And so that's clearly a goal here with this draft. And so, you know, yeah, I mean, it's an improved team. Obviously, the quarterback thing is interesting because, you know, listen, there's no question that Brandon Whedon's stock went up a little bit when Norv Turner, and I should say Rob Chudzinski and Norv Turner came on board because of the way they attack offensively. He does play to Brandon's strengths, but they obviously want some safety net there or some competition.
Sure.
And if there's a quarterback that they fall in love with, you know, can we rule it out? We can't rule it out.
I want to get to that. Back to, though, the defensive additions, mentioning Paul Kruger. Catching him after his best season, I mean, would seem like an ideal time to get a guy. He does seem to be – I know he's got more money now than he's ever had in his life, but seems like a player who could still be very motivated to build upon what he was doing somewhat in the shadows of a lot of legendary players, Ray Lewis, Ed Reed in Baltimore, that he wants to establish his own identity as a Cleveland Brown.
Yeah, I don't think him getting the money is going to diminish his work ethic. That's one good thing. You know, he's got good football character. Mm-hmm. The only thing that would bother you is that his most productive time was when Terrell Suggs was in there and on the other side. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Browns have that type of player, too.
Right.
I mean, so, and if they don't, I mean, I you know, the one thing I do believe is you got to build your front seven. I don't worry about the back four as much as I do the front seven.
Yep.
In this league, because, you know, you got to put heat on the quarterback. And Kruger's going to, you know, listen, Kruger's going to give you everything he's got. Yeah, I mean, he wants to establish himself, but to me, that's just part of his fiber.
Sure. Desmond Bryant coming over from Oakland. And this, you know, when you initially looked at the Browns, you didn't think of defensive line as being a pressing need. They had hit it pretty hard with two draft picks last year and in free agency last year, but the two draft picks, Billy Winn, John Hughes, and you still have a young Phil Taylor. You still have a Tabor Rubin. Yet they went that way, and it seems to me to speak very loudly to Ray Horton's mixing and matching of that front.
No question. Listen, you can't have enough of those guys. You mix and match. You need as many bodies as you can. I mean, we're in an era of up-tempo offenses. And so, you know, even though you may not be able to substitute while it's going on,
right,
your rotation, you know, is still very vital and important. Desmond Bryant, best mugshot ever, by the way.
He's never living that down.
Well, I have to believe he did it for fun. Maybe he didn't, but it was actually very funny. But no, why not build up? Yeah, build up those defense lines. These up tempo offenses. This is not going away.
Yeah.
People are kind of hung up on the read option stuff. It's not the read option stuff. It's the up tempo stuff, because I think that's the one thing that's just not going away.
So you need the athlete, the stamina. You need a guy
like
that.
The athlete, the stamina, and you also know that.
And the waves.
Well, in the waves. I mean, in other words, like, hey, you know, it may not be a substitution while this drive's going on, but the next drive around, guy has to, catch his breath.
Get fresh bodies in there. And what do you like about him, though? I mean, do you like the versatility thing that keeps
– Yeah.
It's almost a cliche when they talk about
it. Well, anybody's got versatility, but you just mentioned what Ray Horton likes to do with those guys. And you go and watch his defense. There's a lot of versatility up front, what happens with them. And they're active, and they throw different looks at you, and you got to have different skills and techniques. And so, you know, he fit right in.
Quinton Groves, I mean, so much is said about his knowledge of Ray's defense and ability to reinforce the Horton way defensively with the other players. That's a big deal, but he's also, he can do some things, right? He makes some plays to be disruptive.
Well, he's talking about a guy that there were higher expectations, and sometimes those guys just, you know, maybe they hit at the right time. You know, maybe it's just, it could be Quinton Groves' time. Yeah, he's gonna deliver you some plays.
Mm-hmm.
And there is safety in numbers, by the way.
Yeah.
And,
yes.
And they're quality guys. So,
right.
You know, and you're playing in a division, let's face it. I mean, like the AFC North and the NFC West. It's so funny to keep saying the NFC West. We talk about spread offenses and option, read options, all that stuff. But you know what? It's still a physical football game. And the Bengals have a physical team.
Right.
And we know what the Ravens and Steelers are or would like to be, certainly.
We are visiting with Chris Mortensen from ESPN here in Phoenix, the site of the NFL meetings, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Chris, you talked about the draft and that's that number six position, and there's a lot more. It was fascinating before. It's more fascinating now, thinking of how these free agent moves that were dedicated mostly to defense would affect this, that maybe the thought of the Browns trying to get an outside linebacker pass rusher at six is not as important now, so corner becomes an option, or trading becomes an option, or – what about a quarterback? Because it's now been reported widely, and this we have verified this, that the Browns are going to have a private workout for Geno Smith.
Right.
After an impressive on-campus workout at West Virginia, what does this say to you? Do you take this to mean that the Browns have genuine interest in maybe making Geno the sixth overall?
I think it's due diligence. You know, let's make sure, because if we see something there that's special, then, you know, you can't ignore that position. It's still the most important position in football.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I take it. And so, therefore, you know, I wouldn't rule it out. I just don't expect it. I really believe that the sixth pick, the number one goal, is to trade out of there and somehow find your way to get a second-round pick. But if Geno Smith should wow you, then, yeah, maybe there's a different thought process. But I think it's due diligence. I mean, Jacksonville's already worked him out privately. Philadelphia
right.
has worked him out privately. The other thing is, you should work him out privately, and what if he's there and all of a sudden now you have your trade partner?
Are you enamored of him? I mean, did
well, I like Geno. I mean, yeah. I was at the Manning camp when Geno was there, and I was impressed with him. Not many guys wow you there, except Matthew. You know, a guy like Matthew Stafford or Sam Bradford comes along, and you say, okay, that's different.
Right.
But the one thing that you did learn about Geno Smith is this is a serious football dude. You know, he loves the game. He's a football gym rat.
Yep.
You know the Elite 11 stuff we do, Trent Dilfer does with the high school quarterbacks?
Yeah.
Well, for the final 25, before they narrow down to the Elite 11, Geno went from the Manning camp out there to be one of the coach counselors. And a lot of the top college quarterbacks were in there. Well, Trent Dilfer makes this thing so laborious for these high school kids. He makes them learn a 50-page playbook with pro plays, NFL
wow.
plays.
Wow.
And they've got to memorize it. They've
got
to have it down. When they show up, they got to have it down.
Right.
And they ask the coach counselors to do the same thing. Out of those dozen guys, only Geno Smith came and already had learned the playbook.
Wow.
He's the only one.
That makes a statement.
And the only thing I ever worry about, Geno, he almost seems too serious about football. Yeah. If there's such a thing, you'd rather have that problem.
Yeah, it's a good problem to have.
Yeah, and I know for some of these teams I worked on privately, his deep ball was phenomenal. I mean, it was like, you know, and you know that Norv and Chud, they like explosive plays.
Yeah, and you gotta have the arm strength to do that. Are you really curious, though, about how Matt Barkley could change things with his on-campus workout later this month?
Look, it's going to be a good workout. We know that. Yeah. But he's not going to change things.
Because it's in perfect conditions and all that.
Well, I mean, listen, these guys still go back to the game tape. I mean, you know, it's a chance to see the arm and know that he's healthy. But mm-hmm. we know that. That was interesting about Matt Barkley. This guy who measured 6'1 and 7'8 back in spring, and he's now 6'2.5. But you know what? Yeah. He's, you know, maybe
lifts
he is
in his shoes.
Bigger. No, he's got good sized hands, which means cold weather. I mean, you know, the hand size is big. That's Mike McCarthy of the Packers.
Right.
That's the Buffalo Bills. Hand size is a big deal. He's got that. He's just not a quick twitch guy. I would never see him as a candidate for Cleveland. That's for sure.
Right. But so of the quarterbacks that are in this draft, is the would it be fair to say the only one that's really got potential to be something special just on paper right now is Smith?
We never know. Okay. We know that Geno seems to be the consensus top guy, but not everybody.
Yeah.
Tyler Wilson's got a little bit buzz now, right, for him on Arkansas.
Sure.
You know, he really impressed people, and what you hear from a lot of people is he might be the smartest of them all. When you've been through Bobby Petrino's school, you've learned it all. Mike Glennon has a couple teams really interested in him because a big guy can throw the ball. You know, some things about him that bother you. It's Barkley is going to win you over on intangibles. He's going to have a good pro day workout, and then you're going to go back to the tape and you're going to worry about some things. There's not one thing that makes you go wow with him.
Right.
And then, you know, Landry Jones, and you just go so there are quarterbacks in this draft. Geno right now just seems to be the consensus guy.
What at these meetings, Chris, has jumped out at you, you know, topically? Is there anything in particular that you see coming away from these meetings that will, you know, impact things in a big way for this league going forward?
More than any other meetings, player safety is by far the theme of this meetings. And the evidence is that the coaches have had more sessions, and the league has spent a lot of time getting the coaches to buy into teaching their players differently.
Right.
People have misinterpreted the running back proposal, by the way. And it's funny that Trent Richardson was one of the samples.
Yeah.
But they're talking about a guy in open space or outside the box who uses the crown of his helmet to load up and deliver a blow with the crown of his helmet. And it's also about the changing culture of the game. It's not going to get changed overnight. It's going to take 10, 15, 20 years. But this is part of the process, and that's what these meetings are about. You know, you can hear about concussion litigation.
Right.
You can hear about the diminishing participation in youth football and high school football and reaching those levels and those coaches. And also President Obama's remarks about if I had a son, I'm not sure I'd let him play. Those things, I've heard all this stuff here.
Yeah.
And the head coaches, more than ever, are buying in. Mm. And I think that's what these meetings have been. You know, we've got to change this for the good of the game. And I think that's what these meetings have been more about than anything else. I really do.
I get the same feeling about that. Tremendous stuff. We appreciate you taking the time, man.
All right, Vic. Take care, bud.
He is Chris Mortensen from ESPN joining us here as we broadcast from Phoenix, Arizona, site of the 2013 NFL meetings. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.